Welcome to episode 112 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. Eric Brzezinski, Alan Olson.
Yo.
We'll jump right in. Nick Price wins his first Champions Tour event, going 1-for-39.
Yeah, congratulations. Kind of a weird last round. He was dumping in the water quite a bit. So he won, ends the streak. Good for him.
Yeah, it's he was obviously one of the more highly touted rookies last year. Didn't get it done last year. Didn't get it done for a while this year. Finally makes enough putts. The Champions Tour, even more than the PGA Tour, seems to be a putting contest. So finally gets it done. And Tom Lehman happened to win in his first week out in a team event with Bernhard Langer this week. So just mentioned that at the tail end. Going back 2 weeks, Brian Gay won the Verizon Heritage the week after the Masters by 10 shots. Shot minus 20, and the nearest guy to him was 10 under.
Yawn. Yeah, the final round was pretty boring to watch, but pretty impressive.
He eagled and birdied in the first couple of holes, didn't he?
Yeah, and by then it was over and done with. Nobody could catch up to him, and he just dropped the hammer and won by 10. Quite impressive.
Unless someone had gone all Nancy Kerrigan on him. He was, I think you or I could have finished the last couple of holes for him, and he still would have won, so.
Yes, quite easily.
A dominating performance, though, and not the longest hitter, but certainly interesting, and now he'll be in the Masters next year.
Congratulations to him.
Charles Howell is in the running to be in the Masters next year. He may still get there, of course, but was looking to do so with a win at the Zurich Classic. Television coverage of that dumb Champions Tour event went long, and when we picked up the PGA Tour event on Sunday, Charles Howell was already 4-under on the front nine, was one back of the lead. Then we saw Charles Howell make a birdie. We saw Jerry Kelly make a bogey. He was in the lead. And then we saw Charles Howell kind of fall apart, and Jerry Kelly hold it together. Typified by the 16th hole, 280 yards or something, you know, people are hitting three woods or drivers there, driver if you're a shorter hitter. He lays up with an iron. Then misses the green long, then has to make a 12-footer for par.
It was a really weird, yeah, I mean, that Champions Tour event, I was, you know, obviously well bored with the draft by then. I was really hoping to be able to see the beginning of it and got stuck watching the Champions Tour. And by the time it came on live, it was like, what just happened?
And, yeah, and we'll give credit to Jerry Kelly as well.
Yeah, I mean, he came back and, you know, he shoots minus one in the final round. You know, he had the lead seemingly forever. You know, had a couple of hiccups there, and nobody really capitalized. Rory Sabatini, you know, shot 5-under and got into the clubhouse. You know, David Thomas
didn't practice or warm up or anything.
He was watching TV, or I think he was sitting watching, or I don't. Bizarre. Charlie
Wee finished one out. Yeah,
you know, Charlie Wee shoots 66 on the first day, and then you know really does nothing else for the for the tournament. He gets the 13-under. David Thomas gets the 12-under. But yeah, I mean, the story was really Jerry Kelly's to lose, and he
almost did.
He almost coughed it up. So
shooting a 71 in the final round to win by again that one shot deficit, or to win by one. Charles Howell started the day four back and shot a 68, so he made up the three strokes. But a lot of people tied for second again. Rory Sabatini, Charlie Wee, and Charles Howell the third. Jerry Kelly has not won since 2002 when he won twice. The only other times he's won on the PGA Tour, so. With that, he's in the Mercedes Championship. He's in the Masters. He's a fun guy. Like I said, the story I remember of him on 14 at the Memorial, Mirfield Village, against the short par 4, Tiger famously chipped in there because the water it runs right down to the water. Anyway, Jerry Kelly hits this wedge to about 2 feet. The guy after him, his playing partner, holds his wedge. But since Jerry Kelly had hit first, he was 75 yards ahead of the other guy. He walks up. He's holding his wedge in the air. He's taking congratulations. He's doing bows, you know, because they're all cheering loudly, you know, as if he's kind of taking the credit a little bit. So he's a fun guy with a decent attitude. So I was happy to see him win.
Yeah, absolutely. He's definitely one of the characters on the tour, and nice to see him pulled out.
It'd be good if we had a few more people that showed some emotion, good or bad.
Yes. That would be great.
You can show some emotion during this commercial break, and we'll be right back.
We're always improving our game, so you can improve yours. Introducing the new Pro V1. With more distance and more spin for better control. And new Pro V1X with more distance. Both more durable than ever. We made every improvement count because every shot counts.
Our forum topic of the week is no TV for the LPGA this week. Kind of a bizarre situation. You had a very star-studded field.
In Mexico,
but at the same time, very star-studded. You would have thought that the LPGA would have made sure that this one would have been televised, and not a chance. Couldn't find it on any of the ESPN stations, Golf Channel, nothing.
Carolyn Bivens didn't think that because it's Mexico, she thought maybe they had to run wires across the ocean or something, and maybe she didn't want to do that.
Yeah, I don't know if she doesn't understand television technology is a little bit better than that, with satellites or...
Maybe they all got swine flu.
Well, that could be. That's a, you know, could very well happen. It's just bizarre. Yeah. I mean, I was looking around.
I'm fairly certain that the PGA Tour bundles in Champions Tour coverage with some of their things. But I'm pretty sure just about everyone I know, and granted, I skew a little towards the younger demographic and not the 55 and olders, would rather watch the women than the Champions Tour, especially when it goes a half hour long into PGA Tour coverage.
Yeah, and especially like a team event. I mean, there just wasn't a lot of excitement in that. And, you know, flipping through the stations trying to find the LPGA, I was just kind of surprised that, you know, it was nowhere to be found, whether it was tape delayed or, you know, different times or you know, whatever. But the fact that it wasn't even on TV at all, and you had Lorena and Suzanne Peterson and somebody named Michelle Lee, you know, you had just a huge star-studded field. Nothing.
We may as well talk about that tournament.
Sure.
Lorena Ochoa goes on to win in a little duel with Suzanne Pedersen. She started the day leading by one, finished the day leading by one, and gets it done. Ochoa wins, defends her title. She won, it's the Morelia Championship. She won there last year as well. Again, it's in Mexico, and not televised.
Bizarre.
Michelle Wee finished, what, tied for 10th?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, it wasn't bad, but as somebody...
She had a great first round.
Yep.
Tied for 10th with Vicky Hurst. 66, 71, 72, 69. Par there, I believe, was 73, because her 69 was 4 under, yes. So, tied for 10th at 14 under par. Lorena Ochoa, unfortunately, 25 under par for Michelle Wee. So, she got a little more than halfway there, but it was really Lorena and Suzanne, 25 and 24 under par. Na-Yun Choi finished at 18 under par, so six back, and only lost two of those strokes. She was four back starting the day, so not really a chance there. Not with Lorena Ochoa and Suzanne Pedersen ahead of you.
No, not when they're going that low.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, like you said, all we could do was watch LPGAscoring.com and refresh every now and then.
That was so, about it.
Tell us about the aces here.
Oh, this is last story. This is a pretty interesting story here. Nationwide Tour, former University of Georgia All-American Brendan Todd made two aces, hole-in-one, the second round, and he made a hole-in-one in the first round. Same hole.
Same hole. Two rounds. Two. play a hole twice and get two.
That's just amazing. And we'll link to the article in the show notes. And it shows in modern history five people to record two aces in a single PGA Tour event. That's just incredible. I mean, I don't even know what the odds are of something like this happening, but the fact that he did it, I mean, the odds to get a hole-in-one period are phenomenal, and for him to do it 2 days in a row in the same hole, pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think for a PGA Tour player, it's you know, like 1 in 10,000, or, you know, it's not as high. I mean, for the average golfer, it's 1 in 600,000 or whatever it is. For a PGA Tour player, it's, you know, 1 in, say, 10,000, but same hole, so that limits, you know, that at least makes it times four, back-to-back days, you know, who knows? It shoots up quite a bit. Not very likely to happen, but it did, and so there you go. And then for the many people out there with zero, this guy has infinitely more than you.
Yes.
For those of you with two, this guy did it in 2 days. So for those of you with one, I still hate you.
I don't hate you, but I'm still a little miffed I don't have one, but nonetheless. Yeah. Kudos to him.
Putt-putt doesn't count. I tried. I submitted it to like Titleist website for a hole-in-one, and they said no. Sorry.
Doesn't work on my putting green in the basement.
No. That about does it for episode 112. For links to everything we talked about, click the show notes. That's where you find all the links, and then you click them there, actually. So, yeah. Take care, and if you can find the LPGA Tour on TV next week, show me where.
Yeah, please give us a call.